All was worth sayings. Question time review. Question time. The 19th of March, 2020, the panel, Matt Hancock, Conservative, Andy Burnham, Labour, Tom Solomon, Dr. Francis O'Grady, the Trades Union Congress, Angela Hartnett, Chef. The venue, Weston-super-Mare. Weston-super-Mare returns a Conservative MP, John David Penrose, who, like a very large proportion of QT panellists, was educated at private school and then Oxbridge. From there, he migrated to the city and into politics. While we're on the subject, usually 4 out of 5 QT panellists have enjoyed a selective education, some at the taxpayer's expense at grammar school, others at their parents' at a fee-paying school. Margaret Beckett, question time, 5th of March, Royal Tunbridge Wells, may have gone to grammar school, as Labour MPs tend to pull a trick of saying they went to comprehensives if their grammar became a comprehensive after they had left it. One of the few recent panellists who definitely went to a non-selective state school, albeit the very posh Harrow County Boys for School, or even Harrow County School for Boys, was pink-jacketed television presenter Michael Portillo. Question time, 20th of February, Weymouth. Owing to a previous merger, its former pupils are known as Old Gaytonians. I make no further comment. Because of the unprecedented times that we live in, this week's question time doesn't have an audience. Not so much a lockdown, more of a lockout. If you see a bus full of blue-haired, hooping momentum lefties stopping at your local toilet roll-reinforced roadblock, you know where they've been kicked out of. From a safe distance, through your gas mask, and with a semaphore flag in each rubber-gloved hand, do the best you can to point them towards Islington. Also during these strange times, when gentlemen of a certain persuasion find, in effect, rather thin emergency railway and bus timetables, those inclined to such pursuits can derive great pleasure from online restaurant menus and, more to the point, their price lists. More to follow. The first question, via video, there not being an audience, came from a questioner in war uniform, blue NHS scrubs. She asked about the criteria for rationing of medical equipment as the number of coronavirus cases increases. Matt Hancock, Conservative, told us that NHS workers always do a good job, but in the near future they will have to carry out a heroic task. When will they have the right equipment? Asked Fiona Bruce, Chair. 150 hospitals will get protective packs over this very night, replied Matt. All hospitals will get such packs by Sunday night. Matt wanted to talk about ventilators from new manufacturers and trading up medical staff to use them. Fiona Bruce mentioned that the EU are clubbing together to buy new ventilators. Is she still showing signs of last year's pandemic? Remain a virus? Matt Hancock tried his best to cure her by telling her that we are also part of the new ventilator programme. Tom Solomon, doctor and professor, mentioned Southeast Asian ventilators and that, in Canada, there are multi-ventilators that can service up to 9 people simultaneously if each of them has a similar ventilation need. Did Fiona Bruce look a little bit disappointed? Andy Burnham, Labour, mentioned his dealing with swine flu as health minister in 2009. Since then, he has contracted forgetty disease, a symptom being forgetting to mention that he was simultaneously in charge of the health service during the Staffordshire Hospital scandal, when there were hundreds of unnecessary deaths and, it was reported at the time, patients were forced to drink out of flower vases. Burnham did remember to suggest the nationalisation of private hospitals. Burnham also mentioned that he'd agonised during swine flu, but forgot to mention that at the same time he was not hesitating to turn down requests for an inquiry into the said Staffordshire scandal. Persistent dry forgetty disease. Nasty. Francis O'Grady, Trade Union Congress, mentioned cleaners and the other team members in the NHS, claiming they were short of soap. Are they really? The unions in manufacturing want to build ventilators, but it's not always easy. Fiona Bruce picked a question from the virtual audience. What about equipment for care workers? It's happening as we speak, Mark Hancock assured us. Fiona pushed him for deadlines. By the end of next week, Hancock bluffed. Angela Hartnett, restaurateur, is famous for being under Gordon Ramsay when she was learning to be a chef. What did you think I meant? Angela asked for facts. Excellent. A big mistake on her part, as the menus and price lists of the restaurants that she owns can be read online. Some good ones coming up. We need facts, she repeated. Wait patiently, dear reader. Another virtual question was posed. When will frontline staff be tested? Folks can't afford a private test. £15,000 an hour, for Fiona Bruce reminded us. Tom Solomon, doctor and professor, told us that it is critical to test healthcare workers and as many other people as possible. At the moment, the number of people who need to be tested is increasing faster than the number of test kits available. As an example, this meant that Dr. Tom might have to self-isolate unnecessarily if he just has a sniffle rather than the actual coronavirus. Fiona Bruce dived in. Should testing have started sooner? Oh no, said Dr. Tom, contradicting Fiona's statement disguised as a question. We started remarkably quickly, given that we had to invent and then scale up a test for a new virus. Francis, the trade unionist, disagreed with the professor. We should have planned a test for a pandemic before we knew what it was. In effect, she was telling us, we should have examined the viral code before there was a viral code. You can tell she went to grammar school in Oxford. Thunderbird's marionette lookalike, Andy Burnham, had convened the Greater Manchester COVID Committee. He had put a call out beforehand, via flashing eyes on a big picture of himself, in order to be able to isolate the key issues before he set off with his rocket to Weston-super-Mare. An anonymous health service source had called International Rescue and confided to Burnham that the government's claim that 25,000 tests could be done in a day was impossible. Burnham cited a lack of lab time. A theme was developing. Pinned down the minister on future intangibles in order to catch him out later. Make no mistake, there is a brutal political game at work here, in which the BBC and Labour will try to skewer the Tories. Matt Hancock said the next test, the new test, doesn't need any lab time. It is like a blood pregnancy test, giving an immediate result. Thunderbird 1 hit the ground. A clever, spectacled chap in a lab coat on Burnham's COVID committee island, surrounded by swabs, was heard to say, bugger it, Mr. Burnham. Fiona Bruce asked if it would definitely work. When assured that it would, she replied through clenched teeth that this was a brilliant step forward. The next video question was from a small business owner struggling to complete existing contracts with a resulting impact on cash flow and an inability to pay his staff. Fiona Bruce turned to Angela Hartnett and asked her, as a restaurant owner, how she was managing with such things. Now you can pass me the menus and price lists, dear reader. On the off chance that places of hospitality reopen just as Aldi runs out of food, you will be able to survive by selling your remaining healthy lung to a coughing Wuhan billionaire and put a deposit down on one of Angela Hartnett's meals. As for her staff, Angela has been kind enough to put them on unpaid leave. No more £21 desserts for them. She went on to tell us that the lucky souls who work at her, for instance, at the Hartnett Holder Company restaurant at Limewood Hotel, afternoon tea, £47 per person, were EU citizens, and she'd given them, from the bottom of her generous heart, the opportunity to go back to where they came from. I kid you not. I had to laugh. Presumably the ones who are infected and shouldn't travel can go on statutory sick pay of £94 a week. If they claim for a year and don't spend a penny of it, they could just about afford a bottle of Angela's Murano's restaurant's £4,500 wine. I'll write that out in longhand in case you're suffering from zero blindness disease. Angela charges £4,500 for a bottle of wine. Angela told us that her employees have their bills to pay and families to support. The bill for a Murano two-course a la carte lunch with discretionary cheese being a mere £45. All of which makes her prices at Merchant's Tavern Shoreditch seem somewhat suspect. A steak for only £27 and only £4 for a giant, medium, small side portion of chips. Has somebody spat in them? And a bit of cheese for £12. Wet market bat steak and wild diabetic frog urine cheese, perhaps? Angela said that it will be a struggle when she reopens. There will be a cash flow problem. She appeared to lick her lips while suggesting that she is allowed to sink her teeth into a cheap, taxpayer-funded loan within 2 years to pay it back. Might one suggest that next time you walk past one of Angela's eateries, that smell might be the books being cooked. Francis O'Grady told us there was a need for certainty and detail. Some self-employment in the restaurant trade is bogus, and in order to avoid sick pay, people can't survive for a sustained period on benefits. Don't just bail out the boardroom, suggested Francis. Up the workers. As a background to Francis, Angela kept gasping, oh, of course, not enough. Matt Hancock wanted businesses to continue to support their staff, and the government will come to the aid of the staff through the businesses. Fiona Bruce interrupted to say that Angela had to let her staff go. No, she hasn't, Fiona. Listen very carefully. Angela has kept her staff on, but without any pay. From the wreckage of Thunderbird 1, Burnham remembered the economic crash in 2008 and the swine flu crisis in 2009. The government hasn't given us all of the answers and was promising the least to the people who needed the most. Those people can't follow the government advice and self-isolate, as they can't afford to miss work. He mentioned his own little Tracy Island. North of the tropics, it is called Manchester. The Board of Trade there needed government money to pay the staff and keep them in position. Memo to Manchester businesses. Borrow it off the bank. Interest rates are 0.1%. Burnham wants big, big, big government with an increase in universal credit, an alteration to job seekers allowance rule, and a set of politically motivated practical solutions. Might your humble reviewer make a suggestion? Cut your costs to the bone. Use your savings, then extend your credit. You've all got credit and debit cards. The shops no longer take cash anyway. When all of this is over, pay off the debt from your new earnings. Better still, get a job with one of the giant grocers. For obvious reasons, they are recruiting. The next question was from a young woman, on a 0 hours contract in hospitality, now workless. Sadly for the BBC's agenda, she had no bills to pay, but others do. Hancock was keen to keep people in work and put money into people's pockets. The Chancellor will say something tomorrow. Hundreds of billions of pounds had already been put into action, putting money into the pockets of the needy souls on the stock market and currency exchanges. He forgot to add. Dr. Tom butted in. The medical side of things has had a quick response, but on the economic side, the government seemed to be making big statements, but then leaving the detail yet to be filled. Fiona Bruce claimed that other countries' governments were paying 75% of wages. At this point, at least one reviewer had to shout at the telly that the government of the Soviet Union used to pay 100% of the wages, and look how well that went. The next question was from a couple in their 70s with a 90-year-old dependent relative. They can't get out, and supermarkets and pharmacies can no longer deliver to them. Dr. Tom mentioned community groups. Younger, healthy people were volunteering, including one of his daughters. It wasn't ideal, but in a crisis, different approaches are needed. Back on Burnham Island, Andy informed us that Gary Neville had made his hotel available to brains. There was also a website for volunteers. Andy had been in touch with the Royal Mail and Burnham really did say this, I was in stitches, the Royal Mail have agreed to make home deliveries, like in the post. Who would have thought it? Angela made an important point. Where she lives, there is a WhatsApp group where people in need can be matched up with people who can help. There is a crossroads here, fellow citizens, between self-help and the private sector and absolutely giant authoritarian government. Andy Burnham reminded us which side of the argument that he is on. There is a big need for extra cash flow for local councils, he told us, presumably including the one that he is mayor of. Frances O'Grady reminded us that these things bring out the best and worst in people. She leaned forward, mentioned survival of the fittest, and recalled scenes of empty shelves and spilt soap in the supermarkets. Stuff was scattered across the floor. £15,000 an hour, Fiona Bruce's heart bled for virtual audience member John, who couldn't get his supermarket delivery until March the 31st. There is a silver hour, Matt Hancock informed us, down at the supermarket for the elderly and vulnerable. Make sure you keep 6 foot away from everybody else in the scrum, fighting over the toilet rolls, in case you catch something. Fiona Stalin told us that the government should be telling the supermarkets what to do. Andy Burnham, give councils the ability to go to the front of the queue. On Burnham Island, the 9:30 bus pass limit was being waived, allowing pensioners to enter the empty streets and look at the closed shops a bit earlier. Local authority resilience had been degraded by cuts. Cuts to wages and pensions at the council? I don't think so. Frontline services have been cut to preserve public sector wages and pensions. FAB, Andy. Why does nobody ever say this? There was one last question regarding the cancellation of school exams. All of the panellists' hearts bled. High on pretend empathy, they were short on workable solutions. Dr. Tom came the closest, suggesting that exam students could be graded on their completed coursework and that, rather than closing schools and then having to define key workers, it might be better to just make school voluntarily. No venue was mentioned in advance of next week's programme. Given the strange times we live in, might it be migrating to Skype? The final emergency announcement was the best. In deference to the needs of the reviewing community, from now on question time will be on at 8 p.m, allowing a welcome opportunity to sleep through news night and news at 10.